citizens! Welcome to the Forks of Potitude. I'm Dave Michaels.
I'm Brian Betts.
And this is Beer Me an Intervention. Beer Me an Intervention.
An intervention?
Is an intervention. You know what you did.
Well, I mean, all of my friends are here, so...
Is this a sad trombone moment? Is that what that went down?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a sad trombone moment. What did I do?
This month, Brian, April, the month we've been looking forward to for so long, All Musicals Month.
Yeah, the month with all of the musicals.
And you chose a movie that's as much of a musical as Schindler's List is a comedy.
I had it on good authority that it was a musical, but I guess maybe you need more than three songs to be a musical.
I don't know if they added the one song in post to make it a musical, to be able to call it a musical. On IMDb, this says comedy, musical, romance. They had two songs. They threw in one more. We'll get there. Not a whole lot of music to talk about on this thing.
There really isn't.
The number two thing that is listed as on IMDb.
I didn't know. I hadn't seen it. But damn it, I'm glad I did.
I am too. Don't get me wrong. I loved most of this movie. I loved like 90 minutes of the hour 40 minutes.
I think that's fair.
Because I thought it was a chef's kiss. And then I was like, 10 more minutes. Not necessary. We're good.
Like we've wrapped this up. Oh, there's more? Okay.
But not a musical.
Barely a musical.
Are you having trouble with theme months?
I don't think. Maybe.
October horror movies. You're just like, I don't know, Rolling Fucking Tire. That happens to be the most pretentious thing I've ever seen in my life. Not a horror movie.
And yet IMDb said it was horror. So
maybe it's IMDb. It's lying to us this whole time.
And maybe you're not the bang bang shooty checker on Rust.
It's not there. We're good. We're good. Brian, this was your pick, and you beered us. 1988's Earth Girls Are Easy, or 1989, depending on who you talk to, I guess. Directed by very famous director Julian Temple.
Very famous. Actually, he did just like a lot of music videos.
He did. You could tell from watching this that he very much had his brain set on music videos. Cue Jeff Goldblum sexy.
Every music video needs one.
Craziest part of Beastie Boy Sabotage. Always said it. We've both never seen this. How about we just dive right in and talk about this? And I'm very excited for this. This movie's fucking bananas.
We start off with casting. There's not a lot of people in this movie, but the people that are in it are all fucking.
They're all fucking. And they should have all fucked in this movie. The story was going that direction and it chose not to. Don't get me started.
What do you expect from a PG movie called Earth Girls Are Easy?
You got Gina Davis, Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans, Julie Brown. She actually matters in this, even though I've never heard of her.
She's like a musical comedian of the 80s.
She was. And then she came up with a song called Earth Girls Are Easy. Warner Brothers is like, that title fucks. Movie.
That's a movie, but don't make it too raunchy. We need to sell it to kids.
You also got Michael McKean and Charles Rocket.
Insane.
Remember him? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
And Angeline, the woman who made herself famous by putting herself on billboards in L.A.
That's some, like, Tommy Wiseau shit right there.
Big time Tommy Wiseau shit. She is like Tammy Wiseau, basically.
She's like Troma Wiseau. I kind of want to go 10 on this for casting.
The cast is insane.
And yeah, they get the best performances that they can get for what they have. Which, believe it or not, a movie called Earth Girls Are Easy, there's not a whole lot.
That's true.
10.
A 10 for casting. Why don't we figure out what this thing's about? Do our story and motivation. Valerie Gale works as a manicurist at the Curl Up and Dye Salon in Southern California, and she hasn't had sex in 2 whole weeks.
It must be so hard.
I can't imagine what that's like.
Oh, gosh, what a tragedy. We're starting off here just with her plight.
Listen, it's been rough.
So surely we're going to see why it's been rough for her, right?
Surely.
And we kind of do, actually.
Yeah, her fiancé, Dr. Ted Gallagher, is too tired when he gets home on account of all the sex he's having with other women. Uh-oh.
He can't just, like, chamber one for when he gets home? Cover up just a little bit.
Just save one for the missus. What's the deal?
You're a doctor. You went to school for 7 years. Couldn't be to learn medicine. I know head, shoulders, knees, and toes, and I'm a fucking man-child.
He must have been out the day they talked about the refractory period.
Is that like an eye thing?
No, it is not.
Like when the gentleman releases himself. And, you know, it's like Kate McKinnon said on SNL this past week, South Mouth. But I'm talking more like North Face.
North Face. Like you got it on your jacket?
North Face.
Oh, okay.
Happy episode 69, everybody.
It might be less of a musical and more of an episode 69 kind of deal.
Oh, absolutely. In a way, it's absolutely perfect, just not for the thing it's supposed to be.
Right. And it's also coming out on 422, which is like 420 also.
You calendar as well as you pick musicals.
After a real fun song about changing everything about yourself to keep your man interested, Valerie intends to seduce Ted, but instead catches him in the act.
She goes through this entire transformation, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
She looks different enough.
It's a bad wig, but other than that.
But still, I mean, she like put makeup on too, and then she didn't do the Gina Davis face. You know exactly what face I'm talking about.
You're right. She didn't do it.
But she like closes her mouth. That'll throw anyone off.
So she catches Ted cheating, and she kicks him out and destroys all of his belongings.
For reasons.
Yeah, I mean, hell hath no fury, etc., etc.
She's gonna have to clean that up. That's why I'm not against, like, destroying shit. Like, Dewey Cox, imagine his home after his fit.
It's gonna be so wet.
R.I.P. sinks. And I bet if I do this sound, people are gonna know the hand motion I'm doing after I say that.
I saw you, but I would have known.
I feel like Sammy Sosa right now.
While all of this is happening, three furry aliens, Mac, Zeebo, and Whiplock, who have also been relatively sexless lately, receive a broadcast from Earth showing off all kinds of sexy humans.
I like how right away we get this human connection of, yeah, everything thinks about fucking all the time.
The first introduction we get to these aliens is like just a extended shot of Jeff Goldblum's blue ass.
But they're talking about sex and space and trolling for tail.
Yeah.
But then when they get to Earth, they're almost clueless how it works. Unless this is kind of like they're just not sure how humans work. And they're just like, yeah, I mean, I'll find the hole eventually. I do on everything other species in the galaxy.
Or do they? I mean, they've gone so long without having sex that they're like, what are these bald things down on Earth?
They do get horny for the bald things because they're so hairy.
They're so very, very hairy. A fight between Zeebo and Whiplock causes the spaceship to plummet toward Earth, and they crash into Valerie's swimming pool while she sunbathes.
I have two questions about this scene.
Okay.
I should have none, or I should have like a billion, but two, specifically.
Specifically two.
Why does she see the spaceship in her swimming pool and say, it's a giant hairdryer, and then her next action is to dive into the water to try to save whoever's in there? We don't know if she actually thinks this thing's like a hairdryer because she has a portable hairdryer that we've seen in this movie
that she uses
in her car, her convertible, after she gets out, which that doesn't make any sense.
I don't get that at all.
The wind in your hair, that's literally what people buy convertibles for, to feel that.
Well, maybe that's why she's so confused about what hairdryers are. She doesn't quite understand it.
Go some with it. She should in this.
It's been established.
It's toasters, hair dryers, any electronic. Throw it in.
Throw it into the pool and then absolutely dive in after it. Maybe hit your head on it.
After she's in the water long enough for the aliens to, in alien, say, she's going to ram us. And then it takes more time for... Keep going. It's that type of movie right now. And I like it, damn it.
I don't even have anything here mentioning that the aliens are tiny, but they grow themselves before they get out of their spaceship.
And they actually shrink her also because they carry her and then bring her into the spaceship.
That's a thing that happens once in this movie.
They kidnap her. And they can't take off because they're submerged.
Because they're in water, yeah.
Silly humans, everyone knows spaceship doesn't work in water!
Valerie's obviously pretty scared at first, you know, aliens. But she eventually invites them into her home where they zap her cat with a love ray, watch TV, and learn about Earth.
It's pretty much the fifth element.
More or less. A lot less.
A lot less. But yeah, they learn about Earth.
While this is happening, Valerie calls Woody to come drain the pool, which is not a euphemism, so the aliens can repair their ship.
Was Michael McKean famous yet? This is after, this is Spinal Tap, right?
I think so. I have no idea. I know Jim Carrey isn't quite famous yet, but McKee and I have no clue.
He's just going full-blown surfer. He's leaning in and having an absolute ball with this.
He knows what this is, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. This is a paycheck.
For everybody. I think the only person who was actually upset about how people were treating this movie was Julie Brown.
And she should have been.
Yeah, this is like her baby.
It's because they pretty much just slapped a director on this thing who no studio would back because his previous movie bombed.
Yeah, his last movie was Absolute Beginners with David Bowie and others and did not do well. Nobody would touch him.
And then you get one studio that's like, yeah, bring him on board, but also take $4 million off of this movie.
We'll hire him, but you can't have a full budget because we already know what's happening here.
They didn't. They really didn't.
No, they had no clue.
This movie costs way too much for what it is.
Julie Brown has actually said that Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, because they were at the time together, would just make out constantly on set, sometimes right up until the director called action. And it made her angry because they weren't taking the movie seriously.
Oh, I thought because she wasn't getting that Goldblum, because everyone wants that Goldblum.
That is the quintessential Goldblum.
It is. And then it's amazing when he, like, Clooney's up to Jurassic Park and you get him, like, lounging on the back of that truck. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
When he Clooney's up. I love that's a good expression.
That's what it is, though. It's like when you become, like, you're the boy and then suddenly you're the man.
Ted calls and leaves an apology answering machine message and tells Valerie he'll be home that night. So Valerie takes Max, Zeebo, and Whiplock to the salon.
Valerie's terrified of this doctor who she knows is cheating on him. She threw him out. She ruined all his stuff already. He says he's coming home, and suddenly, like, that's the end of the world for her.
Yeah, she's like, oh, no. I ruined all his stuff. I got to get these guys out of here.
I'm very, very happy we don't do female characters anymore in scoring things. Because Valerie flirts with a minus one a little.
Yeah, she's real close.
Constant flip-flopping and motivation. Snip, snap, snip, snap.
I really can never tell if she wants to be with Ted or not.
Maybe that's her whole game. She takes the audience for a ride.
Maybe this is art.
No, no, it's not. No. Don't try to rubber this. Do not.
At the salon, Valerie's friend Candy agrees to give the aliens a makeover. Once shaven, the aliens turn out to look just like hot-ass 80s guys.
I don't know how this makeover works. They go into a closet, they come out, and it's Jim Carrey and a Damon Wayans and a Jeff Goldblum. What went on in that closet?
I have no idea. I like that when Damon Wayans comes out, he does an impression of Julie Brown, and it's him moving his mouth, but it's Julie Brown's voice, and he's just like, oh, this one's black. What is happening with this movie?
I don't know.
He was yellow.
Yeah, that's really problematic, isn't it?
There is a blue one, a red one, and a yellow one. And then when you shave them, I don't know.
You get a white guy who's just tan.
Yeah.
Or whatever shade of body Jeff Goldblum is.
Is he olive skinned? I've heard the phrase before, but never quite knew what it was attributed to.
Maybe it's that. But I don't know if that's what it is. But that's what I'm going to associate with olive skin from now on.
From now on, Goldblum.
And then you have the black guy also. It's like you went up in shades almost. Or down in shades? I don't know the direction of color. And that's some philosophical shit for you to chew on.
It's crazy to me that Candy was more surprised that he was black underneath the fur than she was that he was yellow with the fur.
The aliens, yeah, they don't freak many people out in this thing.
No, everybody becomes real cool with them real quick.
I'm very happy Gina Davis, you know, had a career after this. This is brutal.
Candy convinces Valerie that they should all party at the local nightclub. The aliens dancing and long-ass tongues catch the eye of every woman in the place. Valerie and Mac begin to develop feelings.
Strange to establish right away that an alien understands what love is.
And jealousy. So a lot of concepts that you wouldn't really attribute to aliens. They just kind of show up and they're like, all right.
Well, hold on. I don't know if that's true, because that's us being ignorant here. Because what if those aliens have, like, seen some shit?
I mean, it would make sense.
Maybe, like, he's the last blue one, he's the last black one, and he's the last red one.
He's a yellow one, Dave.
This movie doesn't seem to care all that much.
They could be the last of their species.
Who knows? Maybe that's why they're horny. They're like, oh, they're so horny in their little spaceship.
They're so very weird. Horny. And Jim Carrey's tongue, wow.
We've talked about The Mask in the past. You know that tongue when you see that tongue.
Yeah, oh yeah. When Ted finally arrives home and finds the place in shambles, he calls the cops to report a break-in, because surely his angry fiancé wouldn't do this. Valerie and the aliens return home, and she tells Ted that she won a weekend with a band from MTV.
Was that a thing?
It doesn't seem like it could be a real thing, but I think they might have done it.
On a quick Google, Van Halen did it.
Oh, that's actually pretty sick.
And this was in 1984, so this is like peak Van Halen here, right when they're really commercially huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm listening to the audiobook right now for Motley Crue's The Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, do you think that they really like lived it up for this guy who won? Or do you think the band just like toned it down for like 2 days?
No, I think they probably played it up even more so that this kid would have a fun story to tell.
And he's probably got STDs today, you know, to remember the great weekend that he had.
Yeah, I actually found a quote from David Lee Roth. He said, he won't know what will happen, and when it's over, he probably won't be able to remember it anyway.
And that's like the most PG way of him saying, kid's gonna get fucked up.
Kid is gonna get fucked up. Ted demands that the band leave. Then the police arrive, and Valerie tells them that Ted is attacking her guests, so the officers escort Ted away, and he calls off the wedding.
As she has already done once before.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, this wedding should be off.
She called it off, and then he got to the house, and apparently that's like hitting the reset button. I don't know how this movie works.
I don't know.
Keep going. Jesus, there's stuff that happens in this movie, but there also isn't.
Yeah, Ted calls off the wedding, so Valerie and Mac have sex about it.
As you do.
And then Valerie has the most insane dream sequence I've ever witnessed.
This movie has no place for how weird this dream sequence was.
I was seriously like, what am I watching now?
It just kept escalating too. And it's just like these demons like in her home, but in weird places. Like you open the cabinet, there's a demon just eating cereal casually.
What robots this? And aliens everywhere. I don't know what's happening.
Maybe that's the answer to like the Mallrats question of like, what happens if Superman blows his load in Lois Lane's, like blow a hole out the back of her or something like that?
Or does it just psychologically damage her forever?
Maybe that's what it is. It goes right to the brain.
The next morning, when Valerie wakes up like nothing weird happened at all last night, the pool is fully drained, so Woody stops by to refill it. And he meets Whiplock and Zeebo and offers to take them to the beach where all the blonde babes hang out.
And then they do a song about blondes about it.
Yep, and it's Candy, who is a redhead, wearing a blonde wig.
This song was added after filming. They realized they only had two songs that weren't consequential to the plot at all, so they added a third and then called it a musical, I think.
Two songs does not a musical make, but three? Still no.
Still no.
There was a song that got cut. We'll get there. Whiplock and Zeebo accidentally hold up a convenience store, crash into Angeline's pink Corvette, and are chased by the police the wrong way down the freeway.
And Jim Carrey has to bend his body in some way, because that's just what Jim Carrey does.
When Mac and Valerie show up, the police arrest Woody and Mac for reasons.
I'm unsure why.
I have no idea. They're actively chasing the people who they know did it, but they're like, let's arrest these two guys too. So Valerie smashes the police car so she can get arrested too, so she can keep tabs on Mac, I guess.
I love the cop's reaction. Like, she's like, no, you need to arrest me too. My friends are in there. He goes, you didn't do anything wrong, though. Like, he's upset about it. Like, just,
yeah,
he like challenges her in a way. Then she picks up what should be an incredibly heavy metal bumper, smashes the cop car, instantly arrested. I love it. It's such a great move. And also this cop car, no barrier. The 80s were a wild time.
Just sat in there with the cops. It was all good. The police pursuit with Zeebo and Whiplock ends in a crash, and they're taken to the emergency room.
Why, though? Why?
Because they got hurt in the crash.
But they weren't even, like, unconscious. They were just bouncing around the operating room for some reason. Why were they in the operating room right away?
I don't know.
That's some, like, MASH Frank Burns level triage, and that's an appropriate reference for,
yes, it is.
A, people over the age of 50, and me, and also Larry fucking Linville's in this movie.
Barely, but he's there.
Count it.
Obviously, they're examined by Ted at the hospital because there's only seven people in this universe. And Ted discovers that they have two heartbeats. And he thinks he's discovered a medical marvel that will make him rich and famous.
And then as you do in that situation, being the man of science that he is, he goes completely goddamn rogue.
He's like, I'm going to cut them open so I can be on the cover of Popular Mechanics or something. I don't know.
There's got to be some sort of like HIPAA violation there, right? Like, you can't just, even if you make a discovery of an alien, you can't be like, yeah, why'd you cut them open? Like, when you weren't positive about it.
I mean, he could probably get away with just being like, I heard two heartbeats and had to make sure there wasn't some sort of... No, you're right. You're 100% right. Meanwhile, Mac uses his love ray to make the cops fall in love with each other, and he and Valerie escape. They enter the emergency room disguised as a doctor and a nurse, convince Ted he's delusional with sound effects, and then head back to the spaceship.
Just like that. Like, you didn't even add anything. It was just that.
And then, of course, Ted spirals, thinks he's going insane, and decides to call Valerie and reconcile and go to Las Vegas immediately to get married.
Well, he said the magic words to Valerie of, I'm going to be home in 10 minutes.
That makes her fall in love with him again, I guess.
Just instantly forgets about everything that happens before it. I can't believe they used that twice in this movie.
He also still fully intends to cheat on her, so.
He made plans to cheat on her. It's, you know what? Backup plan. Props to Ted, I guess. Clearly this relationship isn't working.
The ship is finally fixed and ready for takeoff when Ted discovers it.
Just like that.
Just like that. They're like, just oh, like the water's fixed. Drained.
Like, the water's gone. Launch!
We hit a couple buttons. Ready to go. It's been 2 days, by the way. It should be noted it's been 2 days. Mac zaps Valerie and Ted with his love ray to make a sad but clean getaway. Because even though he's in love with Valerie, he knows that they're, you know, hairless, weird people and they deserve each other, probably.
Reverse Casablanca. Didn't need to happen here.
No, and it turns out that alien love rays are no match for Valerie's feelings. She leaves Ted and gets into the spaceship to travel the universe with Mac.
After doing a hypnotized makeout. I think. Maybe by choice. I'm still unclear.
Either way, Ted is still under the effects of the love ray and rolls around in the empty pool with Bambi the cat. So,
don't bring up cats. It's too early. Don't bring up cats.
Okay, but this movie is on Cinema Cats.
No.
Yeah, and it's a long, long entry. But the final musing is that cats shouldn't marry men they don't like.
Oh God, I've missed it so much. No, I can't say that because next week is our audience pick and Cats is half the list.
It is half the list. There is a very good chance that that's what we'll be talking about.
But at the same time, I really, really hope not, because Dave Novak messaged me and Brian this weekend and said, the deed is done. I've watched Cats. And we said, dude, it hasn't even been picked yet.
It would be so great if it didn't get picked. I would be so happy.
I have never wanted a movie to not get picked so badly. Gina Davis just goes and lives in space in this not musical. That's how it ends.
Yeah.
She was so easy that she had to leave Earth to lose that title.
She's like, you know what? Earth girls are easy. I don't want to be an Earth girl anymore.
Good news, Valerie. We're going to, winks at the camera, Uranus. That's how this movie should have ended.
That's how easy Earth girls are. It's night number two. Jeff needs something new.
He does. And he knows she's not going to know what that is. She's probably thinking, like, I can name all the planets Roy G. Biv. It's like, that's not the right one.
That's.
Story and motivation, two. Because, damn it, I like it. The only time I get to use it, I'm using it here. I don't think I've ever used it to, like, cement one at the bottom.
This is at least a two.
It's like, I understand in my gut it's an absolute zero, but I'm giving it kind of a bump of two because, again, pretty great movie for not being great. It's one of those.
It is really enjoyable in how bad. It's like Madam Web.
Did you watch Madam Web?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Oh. It's just the vibe I get.
I hate that, knowing that we're doing Cape stuff on Patreon again. Not this month, and we're also not doing Spice World on Patreon this month because it's not streaming anywhere.
Yeah, I got way too excited about that idea, and then it just fell apart in my hands.
And since you're garbage at picking musicals, this is like the least slutty thing you've ever done for Venus Lover musicals, as you've said. I gotta ask you this. Do you trust me?
I don't know if I should, but I'm going to.
I'm the one who gives to the audience.
Yeah, but that doesn't always mean you give to me.
That's a very, very good point. I guess in that case, are you feeling lucky?
I said I'm a slut for musicals. I'm going to abide by that and hope that you do right by me. I have no idea what you're going to pick right now. I don't like that you somehow managed to squeak out a third pick of this month, but I'm going to allow it.
So on Patreon this month, break out your accordions because it's going to get weird.
Oh,
the Al Yankovic story.
Yes.
The multiple Emmy winner.
Weird fucking Al. I'm so in.
It's because we can't talk about Walk Hard again. We've done that. This is the next best thing for sure.
We've said that we were going to talk about Walk Hard again at some point.
We'll get there.
I hope we actually do. But in the meantime, we have to talk about the protagonist of Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yep, zero. Moving on.
It's Valerie, right?
100%. And
that's a zero.
She's going to be very happy she got that.
Antagonist.
What is it? Is it? It's not time, because all they had to do is drain the pool.
I'm pretty sure it's Ted.
He's barely in this movie.
He's a bad man who's fixing to marry her and cheat on her. That's all I got. It's not like the aliens are antagonists. They end up just having sex with everyone.
Ted's bad. One. There. That's all he deserves.
You're a bad man and an even worse doctor.
Don't know what the score is. Just, I'm going to need it because we're still talking about this stupid fucking movie, Brian.
Director.
Julian Temple.
Julian Temple.
His previous movie bombed. Multiple studios said, no way we're making that movie if he's attached to it. And then one studio said, yeah, cut the budget, though, and make him earn it. I don't know. He apparently added attention to detail. He slowed everything down. That's a shit director.
Yeah, and it killed the studio. So,
two, because he still had to somehow rein in Jim Carrey.
That's fair. And this is like pre-fame Jim Carrey, so you know that was a difficult task.
I think he kind of peaked at that with Liar Liar. We've all seen the outtakes from that movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably like the second most watched like outtakes after Rush Hour 2.
I believe that.
Just outtakes everyone's scene for some reason.
Well, they're right in the credits of the movie, so.
But they've stood the test of time.
Some of the lines he does in the outtakes are better than what was in the movie. Liar Liar would be a fun one.
I think I agree with you. Could be a fun one to talk about one day. We'll get there. Same maybe. As Walk Hard.
Style and tone.
It's the 80s. And I don't think that there is any style and tone to it. It just is.
It just exists within the 80s. And therefore is 80s.
They made a set for like the weird salon. That's the only real set in this thing besides the spaceship, which completely forgettable. Three.
The spaceship is so bad CGI that I love it.
Four. I dig that. You're right. Absolutely right.
Screenplay.
There is one. And I think Gina Davis is the only one who abided by it.
Would you believe that three people worked on this screenplay?
I'll go with a two. Like, I don't even have any one-liners in my head from this.
Which is upsetting because I feel like there was a lot I enjoyed during it, but none of it stuck. Two for screenplay.
Went along for the ride. The ride ended. All right, on with life.
Next up is music during our musical month.
Brian, why don't you answer this one?
This is the movie that had three songs in it, and one of them was added in post. They did pull one in the middle and then just turned it into the club mix for the club scene. And it did have one of those fun songs that is the title of the movie, which I love. So I think I'm going to give this thing like a four.
A four for a movie that has the balls to call itself a musical.
Does it call itself a musical, or has that label been lobbied onto it?
This isn't a musical.
It's not a musical. I just read the back of the VHS cover and nowhere do they claim it to be a musical.
How does a movie get musical lobbed at it then? That makes no sense. Three.
Hold on, though. Join me here on Earth. For a non-musical, the music fucks.
Does it, though?
The music that's actually there is pretty fun.
Take your four. This is your I like it, damn it. It has to be.
This is definitely my I like it, damn it. I was gonna start lobbying for a five. But you're right. I'll stay down here on Earth with you. Next up is box office. This movie tanked miserably. It had a $10 million budget, which makes no sense. It made less than $4 million. It didn't even make 40% of its budget back.
No, it completely bombed. It's and big somehow, zero. Every single person in this movie had a career.
Which is surprising. But yeah, that's a big old zero. And the final category is impact on the industry.
I think the impact on the industry is low middle, two, probably.
Probably. It did. This is the movie that put the nail in the coffin for Vestron Pictures. So, you know, that one film studio that nobody has ever heard of.
You know what? Actually, it's appropriate here. Roger Ebert saw this movie.
Oh.
And he gave it 3 out of 4 stars. So why don't we just go 3 and call it a day?
Let's go 3.
And also, yeah, I can't believe he gave this 3 out of 4 stars. But at the same time, I totally can believe it.
That's very surprising. But at the same time, not, because Roger loves him a horny movie.
He does. He says, the movie's sense of fun is infectious and saves the material when it starts to sag. Davis is, at this point in her career, manifestly a happy young woman, and her joy of performance spills over. And he ends by saying, Earth Girls Are Easy is silly and predictable, and as permanent as a feather in the wind. I have fun watching it. And you know what? That's the whole point.
Permanent as a feather in the wind is exactly right.
And all the reviews I read on Letterboxd, people loved it. And one person said it could be described as Lynchian. If David Lynch were horny beyond belief.
Well played. That is going to give Earth Girls Are Easy a total score of 28.
Oh, that is low.
That's very low. I'm upset. I'm disappointed in us.
The audience score on this thing on Rotten Tomatoes is 43%. We weren't even close.
No.
And weirdly, it is fresh on Rotten Tomatoes at 68%.
I love that for this movie. I hate that for us.
37 reviews. So that's not a small amount, but it's also not a large amount.
Some might call it medium.
Yeah, we're weirdly low for a movie that we like. What are you going to
do?
Are you ready to pull the bandaid off?
I'm afraid to. I've been kind of putting it off. I don't know if you can tell. I've been stalling a little. But yeah, I think we have to do this.
As you all know, the last week, the last episode of every single month is picked by you, the listeners. We put out a prompt asking you to fill our list with the types of movies we're talking about that month. And half of you delivered. And half of you pick Cats. This pick is entirely random, and our patrons have two picks each. It's the benefit of being a patron. And now watch not a patron win yet again.
Well, some of our patrons definitely took advantage of that fact and put in double Cats.
And they should take advantage of having two picks, just not like this. Not like this. Matrix, weird woman, not like this.
It should be mentioned that at least one person did pick a movie that wasn't a musical, and we said we would shame them. So Michael Carlstrom, how dare you?
You of all people are saying, how dare you for not picking a musical?
Snatch doesn't have any songs in it.
Unbelievable. I'm so sorry, Michael. I'm so sorry for everything.
It was previously established that they would be shamed. I had to do it. But it's time now to make the pick, the randomly selected pick from The Ghost of Roger Ebert.
Go ahead, get it over with.
All right. I'm clicking the button, and I'm surprised because it's not Cats.
Yeah. Oh man, that's fantastic. It's even better if it's Snatch, by the way. Man, is that fantastic.
There was a 50% chance of it being Cats, and instead next week we will be ending musical month with Hairspray.
That's a great pick.
That's a great pick that came to us from Micah.
This has me worried that people are just going to start submitting Cats because you just let them off the hook with the shame thing.
Don't start that, because then people are going to start picking Cats every month.
I'm so happy that our guest next week, Dave Novak, wasted his time watching Cats last weekend and then bragging about it weirdly. Next week, we're talking Hairspray. The John Travolta one, 2007, not the John Waters one.
Until then, thank you for listening. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe. Send us your movie suggestions for next month's listener pick. Please don't make it Cats. Our patrons, of course, always get double picks. And speaking of Patreon, you heard it earlier this month, we are going to be doing the Weird Al Yankovic story. What's it called? The Weird Al story?
Weird. Just weird.
Weird. We're getting weird.
We're getting weird. Only on Patreon.
That's right. You can email your movie picks, questions, or comments to beermeamoviepod@gmail.com. We are going to be putting up some of the AI-generated artwork that Cubicle Monkey has been sending us because it's fantastic. And we'll be putting that up on Facebook at Beer Me A Movie, so follow us over there.
You got anything else?
That is it for me.
Fantastic. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us. Apologies for Brian. I feel like that's necessary to do at this point.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry that this was not actually a musical. It's pretty close.
Shame.
I deserve that.
We're going to see everybody next week when we talk about Hairspray. We'll see you then.